Welcome to the Within You podcast. I'm your host and wellness big sis, Rebecca Lee. My mission is to help guide and empower you to grow into the best, most authentic version of you so that living and feeling your best life becomes effortless. Here on the Within You podcast, we will be diving deep on all things wellness, mindset tips, motivation, and living an overall holistic, healthy lifestyle. Think of this podcast as your daily dose of self-development, where a positive mindset and holistic wellness come together. Now, let's get into the episode, but before we do, don't forget that it all starts within you. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. I am so excited that you decided to tune in for today's episode because today we have an amazing guest with us, Miss Nikki Novo. Please say hi to everyone.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here with you.
Oh my God, of course. I'm so excited to bring you on the podcast. You guys don't know, but Nikki did a soul reading for me like about a month ago now, I think, or a few weeks ago. And it was actually life-changing. I'm not just saying that, but I still am thinking about some of the things that you told me back in the soul reading chart and the session that we had. And I'm like, you know what? We got to bring you onto the pod so everyone else can experience like your gifts and wisdom and your energy, honestly, is such a blessing. So thank you for joining us.
Thanks. I love that. It's so funny. I remember because you're friends with a friend of mine and I saw you and I was like, I feel like I'm supposed to talk to her. So I guess whatever divine guidance that's around you was like, we need to talk to her. So I'm so happy that the reading was beneficial.
Yes. No, I love that. It's really always those like little intuitive hits. Like you're just drawn to a person or a situation. You're like, okay, we gotta see what's about here. So happy that, you know, worked out for us. I think we should just start off by, you know, learning a little bit more about you. So just feel free to tell the audience a little bit more of your background and kind of how you got into this whole soul reading world.
Yeah. So if you would have told me even just like, I don't know, in my early 20s that I was going to be a reader or anything like that, I would have laughed at you because I actually grew up Cuban Catholic in a very traditional house. I went to Catholic school my whole life and people always ask me like, oh, did you show intuitive signs when you were a kid? I was like, are you kidding me? My Cuban mother would have like sent me to like a nun school or something. And like, that was not a thing. I'm happy I never showed any of those signs, but I actually had like an awakening. I was, I was a fashion and beauty editor. I actually studied publicity and I worked in LA in the film industry for a while. And then I became a fashion and beauty editor and I liked that job. Like I was really happy with like the work that I was doing, had no intention of switching. But I went through a breakup in my 20s and, you know, every good story starts with like a good breakup.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I had this breakup and I felt like completely lost because actually I felt like I don't know if you guys have ever felt this, but like it felt very divine. Even like the way I met him, like I thought that he was my person because I thought literally I thought God brought me to him. Like my intuition, I thought my intuition was telling me that this is the person I was supposed to be with. So when he broke up with me, I was really having like this crisis. Not only was my heart broken, but I thought like, how did I get that wrong? So I was really seeking out some help. And because I grew up religious, I felt like I wanted to see a psychic, but I also thought like God was going to like strike me with lightning or something. So I was very scared to go, but I have this one girlfriend that everybody needs to have this kind of girlfriend that she's like the girlfriend that like you can like ask her for, like she can probably find you drugs and she can like definitely find you a psychic, you know, like that kind of friend. So I was like, I feel like you probably know a psychic. She's like, of course I do. So she brought me to like my first psychic and it was a total disaster. And this lady told me that I was never going to be happy unless I got back with this very ex-boyfriend of mine. And I was like, oh, great. Like life is over. I was like crying after the reading. And my girlfriend was like, no, that was just a bad read. We got to like find another one. So we looked for a while to find like a good reader. And finally met this woman who did angel readings. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. This feels like not dark. Like I thought like angels are in the Bible. It's all good. And she was amazing. Like she was, she predicted a bunch. She predicted me and my husband like years before. And one of the things she told me in the reading was that I was going to get into the metaphysics. And I was like, no, you don't understand. I came here for you to tell me that I was going to marry a rich doctor and not get into like wizard school. Like she was like, no, like you're going to get into metaphysics. So that was like the only weird thing about the reading. But sure enough, like I just got really interested in which the metaphysics is like the study of energy, basically. And after that reading, I was just fascinating. Like I thought it was so interesting that people could do this. And I asked her like if I could train myself to be psychic, because really what I wanted was to never make a mistake again. Like I thought, wow, if I could get my intuition right, then perhaps like my heart will never get broken again, or I'll never make the wrong decision again. So that was my intention for getting into intuition, believe it or not. So she was so nice, and she introduced me to, there's a bunch of books on intuition and angels and spirit guides. And I just went down the rabbit hole of studying all that. And because of that, I started to have like these awakenings. So I just started to take different courses, and the first thing that happened to me was that I could start to read energy. And I was like, this is a problem. Like I was just in the stage that I was trying to be dateable. Like I just like wanted to get married. And I was like, this is a big problem. Like all of a sudden I'm having these awakenings. I'm seeing things like no good Cuban guy is going to want to marry me. But I kept going down the rabbit hole. So I remember because I used to study by myself, like because I was a fashion and beauty editor by the day. And then at night I would like study all these weird metaphysical books. Mm. And my roommate once like caught me reading these books, and she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, listen, I need to tell you something. And I told her everything that I was up to. And then I was like, and if I ever die, like if I ever get in some sort of car accident or something, like you're going to come straight to my room. And I showed her like this box of books that I would hide underneath my bed, like all about this weird stuff that I was studying. And I was like, you need to burn all of this, like before my funeral, like just burn. So it's like a really scary thing for me. Like I was living a very normal life, and I was trying to, you know, I was dating at the time. And I like never thought this would be my work, but little by little, it called me. And then I started teaching like group classes, and then ultimately started doing readings on people. And that's like where everything changed. And I was, because I liked readings, like after that one reading, I was going to a bunch of different readings. And because I liked them so much, I feel like I just got good at delivering a reading. So I really got interested specifically like in souls. Like I thought that I really started to understand that we are mind, body, and soul. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, even though we look like this, there's actually this soul within us that has like a path, this lifetime. And that's what I was most interested in when I was learning. So I developed the soul reading. I would just sit in meditation, and just different downloads would come, and then I would practice on people. And that's how I developed the actual reading that I do today. And I think, you know, even I'm so happy to hear that, like, it really was important in your path, because it's not just like the messages that come through. It's really that we go through our day to day, and like rarely do we have time for our soul. Like we sometimes forget to connect to that part of us, that like divine part of us. And the idea is that in the reading that you get like an hour to feel it. Yes, like the messages I'm giving and all that are very important. But I think what's most magical is that it's the energy that's created where you're like, oh, like you remember a piece of you. I think that's really what happened to you after the reading.
Yes. Wow. This is such an incredible story, by the way. I didn't even know all of it. Yeah. I'm like learning more. I'm like, wow, the fact that you went completely against the grain, which I'm sure there was so much like shame and, you know, fear associated with that, but you just kept following your literal like soul path.
Yeah, it was very scary because, you know, I forgot to mention, like, my dad's a doctor, my brothers are doctors, they're married to doctors, my mom is a biology professor. Like,
wow.
I came out of like left field. And I was really, it was really, really scary. But it was just, the more I went down the path, like, it was hard to fight it. Like, my last full time job, I was an editor at Refinery 29. And I was just writing about, you know, whatever, $1,000 handbags and like this and this, this bikini and this party. And I was just like, what am I doing with my life? Like, I really just felt it did not mean anything to me anymore. So funny enough, I still like played it cool for a while, met my husband, started dating him. We got married, and on our honeymoon, like literally the second day after we're married, I looked at him and was like, you know, this whole like editor thing, like, I don't think I'm going to do it anymore. I think I think I'm going to be like a spiritual teacher. And he's like, what? I like totally bait and switched the guy. And he was like, does this come with money? I'm like, I'm not sure. But like, you know, like, so I was basically like quitting my job on the honeymoon because it was actually, I was on the honeymoon and the company kept calling me and I was very stressed out. And I was like, what am I doing with my life? And I told my husband, I'm like, yeah, like, I think like I'm going to do this for real. It was also blogs were coming out at the time. I had a blog for a little bit and it was just, I don't know. It was like really calling me. I didn't know how it was going to work, but I just felt that it was going to work. So I followed it. And now it feels so normal to me. But at the time, everything, like just my friends, my family, I mean, my mom still to this day, like cannot accept what I do. It's very hard for her. We used to live in the same neighborhood. And if she was watching my kids, I would come home and she would leave, let's say, and I would be like looking for like a deck of cards that I have. I'll be like, man, where are those deck of cards? And then my nanny would be like, your mom took them.
Oh, no.
So like, it was very much against the grain. But I just feel like when you follow that part of yourself, like you can never go wrong. You really got to trust that. And the thing is, the more you trust it and the more you're rewarded, the more you like almost get addicted to it, you know? So you got to follow those things. Even if they take you somewhere that you weren't expecting, you have to trust that your soul has a greater plan for you.
Ugh, I love that so much because I know so many of us, we're in situations right now where it's like we feel a greater calling for something else, but it's like we just have no idea the path ahead. And it's like, how are we going to make money? How are we going to do this? It's like all of these different questions start spiraling. So then we end up in the same place because we're too scared to kind of like make that leap of faith. But that's so beautiful that you literally were like, no, this is what I see coming for me. And I don't know how the path is going to unfold, but I know I have to take that leap of faith. Go ahead.
That's a very, like what you're explaining is actually like the biggest problem we have with our intuition is that we think we don't want to take leaps or like follow the yellow brick road unless we have like the exact plan.
Yes.
Like we do not, we're like, I will only follow you, God, if you tell me exactly what it's going to look like. And if I'm going to marry the rich doctor, like the only reason I'm going to go down this path, right?
Yeah.
Like that's what, and literally when I was studying intuition, that's what I was hoping for. But of course, the more I got into intuition work, the more I realized that intuition, first of all, is the voice of the soul. It is that connection between you, the human, and your soul. And it will give you breadcrumbs. It will tell you the next step, but it's not going to tell you the entire path. And the more you follow each step, the more that it is going to show you. So we have to get into the habit of like, okay, all I see right now is I'm supposed to move from this place. All I see right now is that I'm supposed to break up with this person. All I see right now is that I'm supposed to take this course of, I don't know, becoming a dietitian. I don't know where that's taking me. But I still am going to follow. And then what happens is that, you know, after you follow that first step, after a while, you will be shown the second step. And that's really how intuition works. Sometimes for sure, we get flashes of the future. Like you might get like this flash of like 5 years out, but then that's also scary because like you can see where you're going, but you don't know the steps to that as well. Once you like have the proper expectations for your intuition, like the more you understand it and the more it really works with you, there's so much mystery in intuition. It's so beautiful to like have that relationship. It's a very feminine experience, and it's really about the journey and the fun of it, because the truth is, as much as we think we want all the steps, again, if somebody would have told me when I was 25 that I was going to be sitting here with you at 41, I would faint. I would die, you know, right? Like, because I was like, no, I have, you know, I'm Catholic, I'm Cuban, these are my expectations of me, and it would paralyze me. So like, we have to trust that like what our intuition shows us is exactly like what we need and what we can handle.
Oh, I love that. Everyone needs to like re-listen to that again, because it is so powerful. And I found for myself that the more I tap into my intuition, it's like it literally feels like my like feminine like superpower. The more it just like it, the waterfall, like the water gates like keep opening up the more I follow it, like what you said about the breadcrumbs. It's like you take one step and then you keep doing the next step and the next leap of faith. And like all of a sudden you're down this completely amazing path that you maybe would have never discovered if you didn't start with the little breadcrumbs and the, you know, little clues to begin with. And it's like our intuition is never going to guide you in the wrong place. And that's at least what I found for me personally. But I know that it can be really hard to actually listen to our intuition, especially in this busy go, go, go day-to-day life. And it's almost hard to sometimes even distinguish, like, what is intuition? What is anxiety? What is this? Like, how do you actually distinguish what is my intuition? And how can people really tap into that?
Yeah, it's a great question. So first, again, when we have the right expectations for intuition, we might be better of like being able to notice what it is. So like if we can lower those expectations of like, it's supposed to tell me, you know, all the steps, you'll hear it a little bit more. Anxiety and fear is like really interesting because people are always like, I hate my anxiety. Like, I don't want anything to do with it. But anxiety is actually, there is a message in our anxiety, but it's a lower vibrational message. And that's why like we can't really trust it. But it's not that there's no use for it. It's just that there's something lower. So let's do an example.
Yeah.
So let's say today I'm feeling this horrible anxiety that I'm not going to be able to pay my rent at the end of the month, let's say. And, you know, it's the 12th and I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to pay my rent. Like, I just, you know, I work for myself and like, I'm just feeling like this is not going to work out. Now, if you were in the business of like, well, just don't worry about anxiety, positive think, like manifest your way through, you would just kind of throw that away and like not pay attention to it. But the truth is, if you sit with that anxiety and you'd be like, okay, the way you're talking to me right now and being like so crazy and like talking really fast and making me want to jump out of my body is like not working. But I want to hear like the intuition in that message. Mm. So you'd be like, okay, I'm going to sit with this. And the message is really like, there's opportunities for you right now and you should really reach out to that person because it like might really work out for you and it's going to feed you for the next 3 months. Or I'm sending you this feeling because you're supposed to like get ahead in your business and work on these things so that like 6 months from now you're sitting pretty and it's like working much better. It's just we have to get that like lower vibration to a higher vibration to like understand the pureness of that message. So we don't have to like throw it away completely. You want to like neutralize it first and then see like, is there a message for me?
I love that approach to anxiety because I've been somebody who's struggled with anxiety like on and off my whole life. And like hearing that it's actually could be a positive thing to it.
It's almost like an untrained sensitivity because anxiety is like I'm super sensitive to the world. I can feel everything, but it's almost like I don't have the proper language to explain like the higher vibration of this message. So it's just like an untrained intuition and many times. So, you know, you might also walk into a room and feel like a weird vibe about a person. You're like, oh, that's just me feeling nervous about like all the people around me. But if you sit with it a little bit more, just like ask, get curious, and you'll get like a better understanding. It's just going to be a more like mature. There's a message that's a little bit more mature than that anxiety. You want to think about that anxiety almost like as an immature, like I don't have enough words to explain, or I don't have the proper wisdom to explain what I'm feeling. And there is something a little bit more wise there. So if anxiety comes, you can work with it that way. If we're trying to get messages and there is no anxiety, that like, you know, we're kind of neutral about it. There's a few things that like intuition, first of all, is you first have to decide like how you're getting your intuition. So are you feeling it? Do you hear it? Do you know it? Do you see it? Like, so we have different ways of getting intuition. Most of us are feelers. That's like the biggest one. But a lot of us are also knowers, which are really funny because people that know are like think that they're judgmental because it's like you're just like, I don't know, like that girl gives me a bad vibe and like you feel bad judging her. But also there's a part of you that kind of is getting some information that you know, because intuition, what it's really doing. So it's a spiritual gift. It comes from your soul. But what the soul does, the soul is just energy and it doesn't exist only in the physical. So the soul is reading energy all the time. So like you might be telling me that you're happy with me, but energetically you might be sending me something else. And what's happening is that, like, because my soul can read energy, I'm reading the other message that you're sending me. Mm. So you also have to understand that about intuition, that it is reading intuition. It is reading energy that is there, but is like unseen. So that information is important. That's why, like, future, all that, those are just like energy, like there's just energy in the future that you're learning to read. So when you know how you receive your information, that would be helpful. So like, oh, you know what? I feel, once you feel in your body, maybe like, oh, this person feels a little weird to me, you want to hold focus on that feeling and then see what you get. Like, see, like, if this feeling could talk, what would it say? And that's really how you start to work with your intuition. I just got this weird download. Okay, let me sit with that weird download and holding my focus there to see, like, what else it has to say. Because the reason that we, like, are confused with our intuition is that we don't sit with it long enough. Like, we don't hold focus on it long enough, but there's more there for us. And then intuition, then there's like little tips, right, that I'm sure you guys are already working with. Like, you know, if I, you know, when you're talking to a friend and they just happen to mention like a book or something, and you just hear that book loud or like it's like bold, yes, you're like, oh, that's for me. Like, I was actually at Starbucks yesterday and this guy was reading this book, and it was like as if I was reading a sentence and all of a sudden there was a bold word. That book was bold to me, and I was like, I'm supposed to read that book. So that's all, you're working with that all the time. Like, there's just, to me, it sounds like somebody talks and something goes up in the volume, and I'm like, that's for me. So also, like, what are the ways that your intuition works? So that's like, is that how it works for you sometimes?
Oh yeah, for sure. I can resonate with that so hard, where like a book or somebody will tell me to, Olivia told me to follow you, and like I immediately felt called to like looking you up and like following you and looking at what you were doing. Like, even just that, like certain people, books, things, it's like you do feel that, where you're like, oh, I think that's actually meant for me. And I think it's a muscle, right? Like, the more you tap into that, the more you follow it, the more you train it, the more you start to trust it. Because I think where we get into trouble with intuition specifically is like our mind maybe can't comprehend the why. And so it's like, I really feel called to moving to this place, or really feel called to doing this thing or whatever. And it maybe isn't like rational and like doesn't make sense, quote unquote. And I think that's where a lot of people get stuck, right? Because it's like we can follow our mind versus like our heart and intuition. And that leaves us, you know, still up in the mind space. You know what I mean? It's like battling both sides of us.
Totally. And I think, you know, what you want to remember is that, like, so your soul's like, hey, listen, go here, like do this. And it's scary to follow that. Mm-hmm. But then remember that, like, there's a lot of divine guidance with you. You can be like, listen, I am, you know, God, you know, Jesus, ancestors, like whatever you work with. Just be like, I'm really feeling like I'm supposed to do this. I'm super scared. But I'm going to take this leap, and I'm going to do it, you know, as safely as possible, of course. And you can ask for signs. Like, you could work with it. You can be like, you know, show me 111 if like I'm on the right path. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not alone in this by any means. Like, whether it's going to be your soul that starts to give you those signs, or, I mean, when I read people, it's like there's always an entourage with everybody that I read. It's like fascinating. Like, you have your ancestors with you. Like, you have guides from other lifetimes with you. Wow. Like, you have ascended masters. There's so much around people. And I know you guys feel that. Like, I know you feel like your angels with you, and you're not alone. So when you take those leaps, like, just pray for help. Like, just ask for like the, whatever it is that you need. I mean, you might not get like God coming down and whispering in your ear and giving you all the directions, but like, they're happy to throw you like a blue bird if that's your sign, you know?
Yeah.
So like, you don't have to feel alone in that process.
Yeah, I love that. And I feel like it's similar to a piece of advice I give to my friends, especially one of my friends actually pretty recently. She was like really struggling with a decision and kind of what to do. And I was like, I want you to turn everything off, like disconnect tonight, lay down, meditate, and like ask for guidance, like ask for answers, like speak it out loud, whatever it is that you need to do to connect. It's like, it seems so like simple or silly in some ways, but it's so helpful. And that's personally what I use when I like am really needing guidance or help. It's like I have to just turn off the outside world for a sec and like really tune in and kind of see what comes to me.
That's such a good point. I always say like intuition is not going to scream over mm-hmm. your anxiety. It's not going to scream over your fear. It's not going to scream over your roommate or like your mom. Like it will wait. Like it's mm-hmm. not going to scream over that. It does come in a moment of presence. So you do need space. And you can be like in a loud place, but when you're really present, it'll come through. So if you're trying to get guidance too, you can, I love that example of what you're saying. I think it's also important to know that you might not get it in that moment. Mm-hmm. You know, like you might not get it exactly in that moment. You might be like, I'm asking for this. And your job really is just to be like, I know it's going to come and I'm going to be like open and present to it. And like when it wants to come to me, like it will come to me. And the more you live like that, the more you'll start to see the synchronicities and the mm-hmm. signs and all that kind of stuff. But you do need space. Like if there is no space, it's just not going to come through.
That's such a good reminder, because then we can get so caught up in the like when and the how of things, but like let it go and it'll come back to you. I love that.
Yeah.
I feel like this is, I honestly was sitting here and I was like listening to everything you're saying, like as if I was listening to a podcast, and I was like, wait, I have to like turn, like remember I'm hosting the show real quick, and like I'm not kidding, I was just like so fascinated. I was like yes, okay, intuition. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh wait, Rebecca, snap back into it, like you're hosting this episode.
Pay attention, we're here now.
I have a question too. I'm curious, I just thought of this. Did you grow up like, did you ever feel like super intuitive naturally growing up, and like do you feel that there are more like naturally intuitive people, or do you believe that it's actually like a skill and something you practice and you become like more of an intuitive? I'm curious your thoughts.
I think it's a mix of all those things. My astrology chart, I'm a Cancer. I have like a lot of makings of like a more intuitive person for mm-hmm. sure. I would say like based off of me, but also like a lot of the people that I read, I see a lot of people that their lineage is intuitive and it actually gets passed down. So it might be cool to look at like, do you remember your mom being intuitive or even your dad? My dad's a physician and he's like highly intuitive. So there's definitely some of it in my lineage, but I would say it's kind of like any athlete. Like maybe you played a sport growing up. Let's say you played volleyball and you really liked it. So you worked at it, but you weren't like the natural talent where there was like another person that maybe was like a little bit more natural, did work at it, but like didn't work at it so hard, but they had a little bit. So I think we have a range, but at the end of the day, anybody can learn to play volleyball, right? So it's possible for anybody to do it. But I do think, yes, I think there's a little bit of a range. But I've been teaching people how to activate their own intuition for years now. And I mean, we haven't like not been successful yet. And I think it's just like as long as you have the interest, you can grow it. And funny, I proved this to myself the other day I went against this a little bit because I come from a family of doctors and they love me, but like they don't always like believe what I'm doing. And I was with my sister-in-law and she's like a very science-minded person and she was having a hard time making a decision on something. And I was like, oh, wouldn't it be nice to have some intuition? And she's like, I don't know if I believe in that. I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. I'm like, okay, let's do a little, we were on the beach, we were in San Diego. And I was like, okay, let's do a little exercise. And she's like, really like having a hard time with me. I'm like, it's not like a witch is going to come down and like, you know, whatever, like just, it's just an exercise. Let's do this exercise, which anybody can do this exercise. So she is between like two paths, basically. Mm-hmm. I can go this way or I can go that way. And I was like, okay, we're on the beach. I was like, okay, let's close our eyes. And I want you to see path A, like whatever that, it was like house related. Like you stay in this one house that you're in. I want you to see there and I want you to walk that path, like almost see like a little avatar walking down the road. And now tell me, what does it feel like? What do you see? Like what's happening? And she gave me some like explanation of like, oh, I feel like this, I feel like that. She stroked, like she gave me a hard time. And then I'm like, okay, so like path B, which would be to move. I'm like, I want you to close your eyes, see path B, see yourself like walking down this little road. What does it look like? What does it feel like? What are you getting? And she explained it so perfectly. When she got out, it was such a quick little meditation. She was like almost scared of like what just happened because she doesn't believe in what I do. But I'm like, it's not magic. We all have it. And even though she wasn't like interested in it, she was able to do it because I think, I mean, I know we're all using our intuition all the time. It's just that for whatever reason, I think just the outside world always wants us to trust other things. You know, people are always trying to sell you things. People always trying to live through you. They're always trying to have their agenda, the politician, like the medical, like whatever. All these people are like trying to get power over you. So you're not taught to follow your intuition, but we all have it and we use it. I would say also another thing, guys, like some of us have had like intuitive trauma is what I would call it. An example would be like, you grew up in a house where you were very sensitive and you felt like shit was like hitting the fan, but your parents are like, oh, no, all is good. But you're like feeling something's off. But really they were having marital problems, but they didn't want to tell you. So you get a little bit like confused, or if you've dated somebody who's like gaslighting you or whatever, you actually like will lose your intuition because remember, a woman's intuition is her power in many ways. So like how to conquer a woman, like, make her believe that she's crazy.
Oof.
Right? So like it's happened to many of us that, you know, we are told that we are crazy. And then sometimes you lose a little bit of trust, or you follow your intuition and it takes you to a place that you didn't think you were going to go to, and you lose trust. So some of us have to regain that. So you might think your intuition is broken, but it's really just, you just lost a little bit of trust in it and you have to like build it up again. But everybody can do it. It's amazing what we can do. I also think it's the evolution of the species. Like, I think the same way one day we were walking on all fours and now we walk on two, I think there's going to be a day that we are all telepathically talking to each other. We're reading each other's energy. I mean, we didn't know each other at all, right? When I did our reading, and it's so crazy, like, what another person can know about you, like, just by reading your energy. It's like fascinating because we carry it. We carry all this information like on our energy, and that's all I'm doing. I'm just reading the energy on you. I've trained myself to do it well, but it's really cool to see my students do it too. Like, so I think we're all going to get there. I just think those of us who are interested in right now, we're just like ahead of the curve a little bit.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And I know you have an amazing program that teaches your students how to actually read the energy, read their intuition, like actually do the tap into those gifts, because I think so much of it is also like, if you don't believe it's there or believe it's possible, then you're not going to see it. But if you believe it and you like open up that pathway and that window and that like vision, I guess, then you can start to see it too. Because I wasn't always, you know, a believer in this stuff at all. I think I went through an awakening too once I got broken up with, which was, I was laughing when you were telling your story. I was like, oh my God, same, got broken up with, hit rock bottom, went on the spiritual journey, opened up my eyes to things. And then I think that's when I started like really tapping into more of my like intuitive hits and clues. So that's beautiful. I want to also share or like learn more, have the audience learn more, a little bit more about your actual soul readings that you do, because I know we had an amazing session together, but how is it that you actually can like help people in the soul readings? You know, I know you do a lot with like life purpose and getting on the right path. How can we, first, I guess, with the soul readings, how you actually kind of help people with that? And then also, how can we take this information to align us onto the right path and have us actually tap into our life purpose? Because I know that's really, you know, difficult and is a big thing that so many of us are striving for.
Yeah, that's a great question. So like studying intuition is kind of 101 a little bit because, that's where I started. But then as I went down the journey, I realized like, oh, it's not even about being right or wrong. It's actually about being able to understand where your soul is trying to take you. Like I realized that was like really what we're working towards, that your soul came here with a plan, like with a path, with a purpose. And that's been the greatest gift. Like reading other people's souls has just been fun and fascinating, like to see. There's just so many cool souls in the world with like so many cool purposes. It's like so fun to do. And that's like, you know, that's intuition just is like the little tool that helps us understand the soul. But ultimately, I always say like intuition's like the phone that like your soul's trying to call you, and like you finally pick up the phone and you can understand the soul. But the soul's like the biggest thing because it's like you said, like we have these purposes, we have these paths. So, and then without using these words, really what it feels like is we usually have, I write about this in my book. If you guys are interested in it, it's called Soul-Led Living. It's on Amazon. So we have these like, we have these like two paths, what I call. So like the first path is the default path, which many, all of us have lived on it before. It's like, you're just following the things that your parents told you to do, whatever society told you to do, and you're just checking the things off the list. Everybody's lived that way. And that's like what we think is the path. Like we think we're going down this like very linear, very masculine road. And but at some point, some sort of thing wakes you up and you start to follow your heart, right? Mm-hmm. So you're, because that's the closest like understanding that we have. And your heart is really, it's that connection to the soul that ultimately brings you to your soul's true path. So it's like God's will versus like our will. Like we're always trying to make things like our way, but there's actually like this other way that was intended for us, that our soul like intended for us. So that path, what it really feels like to be on, like to be on your soul's path, there's a lot of mystery there, but there's a lot of, it's just this feeling of trust. Like I'm following the things that seems, that scare me. Like I'm kind of like always a little bit like outside my comfort zone. I'm always paying attention to like what the universe is trying to tell me, even though sometimes I might not even want to go there. Like when I was being told that I needed to start to do readings, like I was pissed. I was like, fuck you, universe. Like I did not sign up for this, but I also knew I was supposed to go down that path. So the soul's path is that way. It's really there. And then everybody, yes, has a purpose. There's different layers to soul's purpose. But as you start to walk that path and you start to ask that question, what my purpose is, people get really scared about asking that question because it usually feels like, I don't know, like you're having a midlife crisis or your life is falling apart. But when you start to ask that question, you're actually hearing your soul. Like, because the soul's purpose, like that question of like, what am I supposed to do in this lifetime or whatever? It really means that your soul is connecting to you. So it's super important. Like it's awesome when that starts to happen, even though I know we can feel very lost. But when you start to ask that question, asking you shall receive. So yes. Like the more you ask it, believe it or not, like as soon as you're asking that question, you're already getting on path. So like you should be really proud of yourself when you start to ask that question. And then little by little, you have to pay attention again to the breadcrumbs and follow them little by little. And really, it's not that your soul's path is like rainbows and butterflies and it feels amazing, but it feels the proper amount of scary, like almost going on a roller coaster and just being like, I'm scared of this, but I'm like excited to go on the roller coaster. So it should feel a little bit of, I do feel like I'm stretching and I feel like I'm going outside. It's definitely more of a feminine approach too, because the path that the blueprint paths that we like to follow, these default paths, are definitely more linear, which means that it's like, I check this, get a job, I get a boyfriend, I get a whatever, I get a house, like all that, where your soul's path is a little bit more like a web. It's a little bit more like this thing led to this thing and this thing led to that thing rather than a straight line. So you have to be willing to do that web.
Yes. And how would we know if we're on like the right path or not? Like, how do we know if we're on the right path or if we should be going a different direction? Like, how can we actually start to figure that out?
Yeah. So if we're super controlling, it's a little hard. But if you can let go control a little bit. I mean, we were talking off camera and you were like, Nikki, it's so crazy. Like, I'm getting all these roadblocks, right? Like, it's like the universe is like closing these doors for you on purpose, because you're supposed to go another way. So we definitely have to pay attention to, in a sense, like what is not working out for us, even if we're trying really hard for it to work, right? So that it will like direct you as well. And there's like kind of meditations and metaphysical ways to find if you're on the right path, but I think the most important thing is to feel what the path feels like for you. And it really should feel that I don't know where I'm going, but I'm curious and I am like feeling like I'm on to something. So it's a little bit of a scavenger hunt. And it really shouldn't feel blocked. Like it should not feel like I'm hitting roadblocks or anything. There should be a bit of a flow.
Yeah, it should feel like the green light kind of. Maybe you don't know where you're for sure going, but it's flowing. And there's no roadblocks. And it reminds me of something someone told me recently the other day, which they had this phrase, or their mom had this phrase, where it was like, follow your fear compass, which I find a little interesting. And I feel like it connects with all like the intuition and purpose and stuff, where it's like fear is actually not necessarily like a bad thing. It could be showing you where you should be going towards.
Exactly. I think curiosity is a good one too, right? Like, because, you know, and usually curiosity is kind of, you're like nervous and excited and fearful and all these kind of things. So you're like opening these doors or you're like not sure what's on the other side. And that's really like, it should feel a little bit curious. It shouldn't feel like I know everything that's about to happen, you know, like that I'm going down this path, or it, you know, it should, we have to eliminate things like having to know everything. We have to eliminate like having to please everybody, having to make everybody happy, like having to do what we think is successful.
Oh yeah.
It's like once you remove those things is really when you start to like follow the true road.
And that's so difficult as humans to
and as women, we're like trained to like, do that.
So much easier said than done, but it's so true. The more you do that inner work and the connection and you really kind of get past those and shed those things, you can start to feel what is right for you, and you follow that like no matter what. That's beautiful. And it reminds me of an email that I read of yours the other day, actually, which was talking about how, you know, you're from Miami, you're living in Miami, and you decided that where it was like, this isn't in alignment with me anymore. And, you know, and you made a move for your family. So maybe you can kind of tell the audience a little bit about that story, because I feel like it's such a good reminder too of like, hey, if something's not working for you, if it's not in alignment anymore, like you have to pivot, like make a change. Don't be scared.
Totally. Like alignment is a great word because I think that like when we say alignment, it's like there is something off. Like I believe life should be like this and somehow I'm not living that way. So it's almost like you're out of alignment with yourself, with the own, like with the things that you believe in. You're not like really living that way. So I think that's a good word to follow as well. Moving is so, and like living and where we live is like such an interesting thing. I was born in New Jersey. I grew up in Miami. My parents, like after it was too cold for them in Jersey, we moved to Miami, grew up there, and I graduated from college and I moved to LA, moved back to Miami, and now I live in North Carolina. So I've had a few, but like all, like pretty much my choices. And your soul, believe it or not, like, it looks for expansion all the time, right? It's constantly like looking for experiences to expand, because in a general way, that is our purpose. Like in a general way, the soul comes to this weird earth to learn certain things so that it can expand and almost like graduate from, you know, this dimension and go to the next, basically. So it's always looking for experiences. And like where we live often, if you ever feel like it's a groundhog day, like, you know, that you're just waking up and every day is the same, it sucks. But that's actually like a sign that like you're supposed to shake it up. And sometimes it is moving. And I was feeling that a lot with Miami. So I love Miami, but there was just something about it where I felt like I was plateaued, like, and also the vibration of the city of like where I was and the circles I was in wasn't fitting. Specifically for me was that I grew up there and I had like the same group of friends, and I was like in what I call an identity web. Like I could only be a certain way because people were expecting me to be that way.
Yes.
If that makes sense. Like
totally.
And I was just like, there's nowhere out of this web. Like, even if I try to take my kid to a school that like nobody goes to, or if even I try to live in a different neighborhood, like I'm still stuck in like these expectations.
Yes.
And I couldn't go any further, and my family couldn't go any further. And it gets really interesting when you have like other souls, right, living with you, even like your children often, or your partner, they start to like, these souls are, we're always like telepathically talking to each other. And I could sense too that like even the kids, like this was not the place for them anymore. So it took us a long time, but like 5 years, even 5 years before we moved, my husband and I had gone to North Carolina, and we just had this dream We were super broke. We could barely pay our mortgage. So I don't even know how we had this dream. But we had this dream that we wanted to own like farmland at some point. It was just a random dream. And what was so interesting is that we went on this trip 5 years prior to moving, planted that seed, had no idea how it would happen. We were super broke. Like I said, we could like barely afford the trip. And came back. And it was like that dream, that North Star. I guess we just set that intention. We really wanted it. Our lives started to align for that to actually happen. So it was sometimes like you set this dream, like this like vision that you have, and it actually like causes problems before it starts to look good. So in a way, a lot of like, I realized that my husband had an addiction and we had to figure out our money stuff. And there was like all this fixing of like just the basic like root stuff that we had going on. Because it was trying to align us and my family to like this bigger dream of like having this like property and this land. So it's really funny. Like people will be like, why is my life falling apart? I'm like, well, tell me what you wished for a few weeks ago or a few months ago. Because yes, your wish is often bigger than the life you're living right now. And it's going to be like, yeah, I want to come into your life. But all this like bullshit of like people pleasing and fucked up finances or blah, blah, blah. Like it can't come with you to this bigger dream. And for me, I think land does that a lot. Like the land was like, yeah, we'd love to have you. But like all this bullshit that you guys have in your family and the addictions and the weird things that you have going on, like you can't bring that here. So we had to like clear out a lot of things in our like lives. And then ultimately the land just like landed on our laps and miraculously we were able to afford it and all this stuff like started to happen. And that move expanded us, all of us, in such a big way. Like even me, just my business financially, like everything. And that feeling that I was plateauing, that I was like stuck, was a true feeling. Like I wasn't crazy for thinking that. I needed like more of the space. And I believe in that. Like I believe, like now we're in the woods and I, with the work that I do, I needed something to clean my energy. Like I almost couldn't hear, I could hear messages better naturally, like in the mountains than I could in Miami. It was just very dense and I've just like, my gifts have gotten stronger. So I think also like if you're single, I think your souls call you to, you like your soulmates call you as well. So like when I was living in LA, I had a good job and I had good friends. And just one day I was like, oh, not supposed to be here anymore. And my friends were like, what? Like, you have an amazing job. Like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I'm supposed to go to Miami. I was like, because I just knew I was supposed to like get married and like have a partner. And I know that sounded very anti-feminist, but it was like, I knew I was being called. And I got up and didn't make sense, but I packed my bags. I went back to Miami. And a year later, I met my husband. And I do feel that like, there's so much going on between souls. So moving is really interesting because it might not seem like a spiritual decision, but it often really is.
Wow. Oh no, that literally just reminded me of in our reading. And you're like, I think you're going to meet someone when you're traveling or if you go somewhere else, like might not be where you're at right now. And like, it's such a testament to exactly what happened to you, where you really felt called to going somewhere where your soulmate was.
Yeah, it's like annoying, but it happened. So if you're single and you're, one thing that I think when we're single, we totally forget about, like there's a person for you, right? Like your soul has already, like that, if you already planted that wish, it already exists. It's kind of like the land. Like I didn't know what land I was getting, but it already existed. And there was a future timeline where I was going to have that land. And you're going to have that person. So you can connect with that soul. Like just close your eyes and be like, okay, future soul, like partner of mine. Like, what do you need for me to meet you? Because it's kind of soulmates like that are really funny. I always see them like on the opposite ends of mazes. Like, you know, like a maze. Like, let's say you're on one side of the maze and they're on the other. And they're looking for you too. Mm. But often like we're not like lovingly doing the things and with bravery that like brings us to that person. Like we just want to like stay home and complain about online dating and all those kind of things. But it's like, okay, if your person was there and like was also looking for you, but needed your help, like it's like needed you to meet them halfway, what would they be calling you to do? And maybe it might tell you, I'm calling you to make a move, to like move, like to get out of the city that you're in. Or maybe it's like, I'm calling you to, I don't know, love yourself more, or like whatever it is. But I think about that with kids and pets, like all these souls, like we have so much connection with all these other souls, or they want to connect with us, but I don't know, we forget that spiritual part and we're not like talking to the soul, and therefore we're like missing the steps that we're being called to do.
Wow. That's so true. And even when you're speaking, watching you speak, it's like I feel how tapped in you are, and it's so beautiful. I just have to say,
my eyes go off to the side. Yeah, no, and I love anything
it
else.
Like, you really feel it from you. So we're just blessed to have your energy today on the podcast. But it reminds me of this other girl I was talking to last week. She was telling me that she would write letters to, from her soul, she would like tap into like her husband's soul energy and write letters to like his soul, and like would connect to that energy, and then write, and then on her, then she ended up meeting him shortly afterwards and read her the letter, one of the letters she wrote like on their wedding day, like as their vows. And she said it was like so accurate, like everything applied so perfectly to him. So I thought that was like a really cool, like tangible thing. Like for anyone listening who's like, I feel so defeated in dating, I'm single, I want to find my soulmate, like, is there any other like tangible things that they can really do to connect with their like soulmate's energy and their soul?
I have like full body goosebumps. Like, I'm so happy you shared that. I think that's like a beautiful offering. And I know it sounds like the most pathetic thing, guys. Like, I know like nobody wants to be like the girl, like writing the love letter. I get it. Like, I know it sounds like so pathetic, and it's not magic. It's just that, it's just getting out of your own way. Like, believe it or not, like when you're coming at it from that angle, like, it's such a stronger vibration. It's, you're magnetizing in such a bigger way. Like, you're getting out of like this human app, like scared of the apps or whatever. It's like, it's it, so just do the exercise. I love that exercise. So I have a funny story about dating. I was single, living in Miami, and I was like, okay, I'm ready. Like, I had lived there for a year and I was kind of dating around or whatever, but I was like ready. I knew it was like time to like meet my person. So I decided that I was going to make this, I don't know where I got this idea from, I guess it was just like an intuitive hit, that I was going to make like a high vibe like music playlist. And I would run every morning, and I was just like, I'm going to play this like high vibe music, and I'm just going to imagine, like visualize myself like with my person. Because what we do know about attracting like our person and all that stuff is that we want to exist at the vibration of the relationship. So it's not like, oh, you're low vibe and your person's high vibe and you're supposed to like meet them at their level. No, it's just that when you think about like you and your union and what it feels like, that might be a vibrational 7 and you might now be feeling at a vibrational 3. So like your work is to start to elevate your vibration to a 7 as much as possible. And so I like understood that. And I see that all the time in my work. It's really cool. So I was like, okay, like, let's try to get my vibes up. So I would, and we know that when moving your body, music, like good music can help you. So I made this playlist, and they were just like kind of love songs, but like, you know, it's in your ear. So you definitely want it to be like good stuff. You know, like we don't realize that like sometimes we're putting music in our ears that like literally is telling us bad things. So like you want to have some good stuff. And I would go for a run and I would play this playlist, whatever, fine. Fast forward, finally, you know, I meet my husband. We are engaged. We get engaged, and we start planning our wedding. And I'm like, oh, he's 6 years old, 5 years older than me, almost 6. And he was like, oh, we have to pick a song, and it was kind of hard because we have a gap. So like the songs that we like were different because he's like pretty older than I am. But I did know that he liked Dave Matthews, and I was like, my dad liked Dave Matthews, so we were like on the cusp. And he's like, you know, since we both like Dave Matthews, what about this song? Sure enough, that song was on my playlist. It was this random song that was on the playlist. I don't even know how it ended there. I just like picked it. It is a love song. And it was just like the one song that kind of would fit for us. And he was the one that suggested it. And sure enough, at our wedding, we like played that song. So it was like, I always told him, like, I manifested you. Like, I literally. So doing things like that, like the love letter, what it's doing is that you're getting into the vibration of your future, and you're getting out of your own way. So you're like calling that person and you're raising yourself up vibrationally. Like you're not, because the only reason we don't have whatever it is that we want in the future, whether it's money or, you know, home or, you know, success, whatever that may look like, the only reason like we do not have it right now is because like we're vibrating at a different vibration than that thing. So our job is to get into that vibration. So music, the writing, all of that stuff works.
Wow. That actually like brought tears to my eyes about this song.
Yeah.
Like what a beautiful full circle moment.
It is. I'm always just like, yes, I did. It was funny. My mom, like after our wedding, she was like, your wedding was like almost like you were celebrating. Like she couldn't like put words to it. And I was like, yeah, because I like feel it was like I was working for like that kind of love for a long time. Mm. And I like that wedding felt like I did it. Like I felt like I ran a marathon and like,
yeah.
Know? And that song was like a celebration, you know, because I didn't want to settle. I didn't want to be with like, mm-mm. just like, I didn't want to get married to just get married. Like I really wanted like my person and my husband and my kids is, I love my career and I'm very proud of the work that I do. But I think just as much is that I want to be like an example of like, a beautiful, like what I like to call like new earth family, like
yes.
just being all good, like being the five souls that we are, like living into our purpose, like everybody existing in that harmony. And that starts with like the manifesting practice, you know, it doesn't just like happen. You have to get ahead of it a bit.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I love that it's like, it's actually about raising our vibrations. It's not like, oh, it's, you know, we're low vibe, they need to be in their high vibe. It's like, no, how can we actually start to implement the practices, the tools, the daily rituals, the things that make us feel like our best selves almost,
yeah.
to attract the right partner? Because God, universe, whatever, is not going to send you your dream person if you're not going to be the type of person that will be able to hold space for a beautiful relationship like that. So I love that. And I guess I'm curious to know, are there any, or I guess your typical like daily routines, rituals, practices, or spiritual tools, like tangible things that you do that has really helped you on your evolution and your spiritual journey to tap into these beautiful gifts and, you know, all these amazing things? What is it that you really do as rituals?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little seasonal for me, but mm-hmm. like that, what we just talked about, that's great for manifesting. Like if yes. you're really like trying to bring somebody in, I would say you're working on your vibration. So you, I always say like when you're working on your vibration, you're kind of often like glitching, like we don't have like the strength to hold the high vibration. You know, like some days you're like, man, I just had three really great days. And then you have like two like yes. hard days that you drop down. It's because you're trying to like get to a high vibration, but you just can't hold it for that long. So definitely if you're trying to get to the next level, you want to add in, I like morning, like in your morning ritual, something that is like raising your vibration. So it could be music. It could be like writing the letter, like you said. It could be visualization. And just also throughout the day, you can just ask yourself, like, what would my future self do? So let's say you usually get like really annoyed at your boss, but you're visualizing yourself, I don't know, at another job or somewhere else. If your boss gets you really annoyed, you're going to ask yourself, like, what would my future self do? And you'll react differently to that. And all of a sudden, like your life starts to become the future. Mm. So little things like that, like those are things that I'll add in if I'm working towards like an up level, if I'm trying to up level. And sometimes I'm not up leveling, so I won't do that. But I do recommend movement always, because some sort of movement, not for like losing weight or anything, but because like we want to be tending to our vibration and we have to like cleanse that vibration, and movement is like the best way to cleanse the vibration. So that, like, you know, you might have had a hard day, or maybe you were around somebody who was really toxic the day before. That happens. Maybe your partner is toxic. Like it happens. Your roommate, whatever. But it is our job to clean the vibration. So there's always something that I'm doing to clean the vibration. It's usually movement, like some sort of exercising, running, spinning, hiking, whatever that may be. A little bit of meditation. I know a lot of us don't like it, but even just like 10 minutes, just like putting your timer on, because that meditation practice is actually what's going to help you hear your intuition better, because mm-hmm. you'll be able to know the difference. So very simple, guys. 10 minutes, you put your timer, you close your eyes. And just the name of the game is like, I'm going to do my best to not let my thoughts take me somewhere. I'm going to try to stop them if I can. And, you know, and that's it. And those are like really the important ones. I feel like for where you guys are, like I'm feeling like, what would my future self do? I feel like that would be like, if we can all get like bracelets that say that, I feel like if you can just do that, you're going to have a shift in like the next up level that you're working towards.
Oof, that's so funny you say that, because that was the one that resonated with me the most. I was like, oh, I got to start doing that.
Yeah.
Like, what would my future self do, and only acting in accordance with that?
Yeah. And visualize her, guys. Like, your future self is such a great guide. All you have to do is close your eyes. I usually see my, so crazy. Actually, I remember the day I would go meditate and see my future self. And I remember the day that like she showed up in this like Southern house, and she was drinking like, what do they drink in the South? Like this tea, I'm forgetting what it's called. Like it's like lemonade with iced tea. And I was like, I remember being like, where are you? Like, you're not in Miami. Like, I don't see palm trees. She's like, don't worry, don't worry. And like, she was in my house. Like, it's so funny how like my visualization of her was very similar to what my house looks like. It's like, I have like a modern farmhouse looking house now. And that's where she met me like years ago. So I knew she was like taking, so I remember getting scared and being like, oh my God, I guess I'm moving at some point. But anyways, the future self is a really good guide. She's always, and you probably feel your future self right now, like trying to pull you to the next stage. So you can close your eyes, you go to meditation, you can see her in a future home, and don't worry if you're making it up, it doesn't matter. Visualize whatever you want to see, and you're just going to see yourself a little bit older, and you can ask her like, how did you get to where you are? You can also pay attention to her vibration. If you're like, oh, you know what, it's interesting, my future self, like, she just seems confident, or she seems happy. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Then like today, I know it's not going to be easy, but like, if I was confident, if I was happy, what thoughts would I be choosing? Like, what would I be saying yes to? What would I be saying no to? What media would I be watching? Who would I be hanging out with? Like, your future self is not doing all the things that you're doing today because she's evolved, you know? That's a really, really good guide to work with.
Oh, I love that so much. Really, I feel I'm like taking mental notes right now for everything I need to do after this episode. Yeah. But wow, I feel like we could chat forever. And Nikki, you bring such like incredible wisdom and energy to the podcast. So I truly know that each and every one of you are going to get incredible insight from this episode. I hope you're taking notes as well. But unfortunately, we're like running out of time, which is sad, because now I like want to bring you back on.
We'll do a part two in Miami.
Yes, we'll do part two. But I guess to close out the episode, I guess if there is one piece of advice, you know, I call myself, you know, Wellness Big Sis. If there's one kind of like big sis advice that you would want to reiterate or reinforce to the listeners, the lovely souls who are here with us listening today, what would that piece of advice be?
Yeah, I have goosebumps. I can feel you guys. I really see it in your throats, you know, like speak your truth, like act upon your truth, even like also pay like what you're saying, live it. You know, if you're like, oh, I'm just so tired of drama, or of like, I really want to like do this, like act upon it, like just start to align with what you know. Cause I can feel you guys, like you know what's true for yourself. You just got to act that way. Like just add that extra thing, like just hold yourself a little bit accountable to be acting the way that you're speaking. Cause like you're super tapped in, and all you guys are made for big things. Like there's really, I see it. Like you're gonna have businesses and like beautiful families, and like you guys are doing it. You just, like what you feel is true. So the throat chakra is about like our truth, our authenticity. You guys are like, it's really lighting up for me, but we have to ground that with action. So if I said I wasn't gonna do this anymore, like I'm not gonna do it anymore. If I wasn't gonna call this person back, like I'm not gonna call this person back. So just a little bit more of that, and it's just going to change your world.
Oh, mic drop. That's literally, I was at lunch before this with my friends, and they were asking me my intentions for 2024. And I was like, I'm just going to be taking aligned action nonstop. Like, last year, I feel like I didn't do it. Like, I've been saying things for a while. And this year, I'm like, no, this is the year I'm like taking action on all of it. So,
and I think there's time. There's like a time and space that you're like, okay, I just got to talk it out or whatever. Yes. But it just seems like where you guys are at is like, follow it.
If you're saying these things over and over again, time to take advantage of and take action. Amazing. So where can everyone find you? How can they connect more with you? Please let the audience know all the details. We'll have it in the show notes as well. But I'm sure people are going to be interested in like next steps.
Yeah, you guys, it was a pleasure. I'm on Instagram, Nikki Novo. And I have a new book out called Soul-Led Living, which is really fun. It's about finding your soul's purpose. So that's a good one. And yeah, you could just DM me and I'm always on my DMs and happy to respond to you guys. So thanks for having me.
Amazing. Thank you so much for coming on. Yay.